welcome. I am Richard from the Veggie Grower Podcast, and today is the 5th of March, 2018. This is episode 158, and it is titled Clearing Up. Now, coming up today, I have the diary, including the effects of last week's weather. Following that, I have the calendar. Then after that, I've got a few comments just to go through. Now, firstly, apologies again for the audio. It's been a hell of a time with the audio, to say the least. I'm still really working on it. Last week, my new mixer blew up, which is why that horrible buzzing sound right the way through it. And that was a new mixer, so I'm not happy, but I've sent it back and ordered a different one, which should have arrived by now, but because of the weather, it didn't arrive. Well, I'll put it down to the weather anyway. I was hoping to have it by now, so I've got no gain control or anything on this, so it's a bit echoey, I'm sure. Anyway, let's get on with the diary. Well, last week, the beast from the east hit us with a vengeance, bringing snow and cold temperatures that we don't normally expect here. You may recall that last week I said that where I live, I very rarely get snow. Well, I was very, very wrong with that, wasn't I? We got snow that very night, and the snow was here all week. By Saturday, it had gone, but what I found very surprising was the day temperature was as low as -5, which is really rare where I live. In fact, it's the first time I've actually had the chicken's water freeze during the day. Thankfully, it wasn't too much of a serious problem for me. And actually, the chickens seemed to be enjoying the snow when they were playing in it. It's quite funny. But that does give me stock for something to consider for next year. Anyway, while on this subject of the weather, I've heard back from a few listeners who had it much worse than what I got. One listener was actually snowed in. The listeners I heard about, thankfully, they were prepared. They had plenty of food in their homes ready. And I just like to wish everyone out there that I hope you're all okay and you coped with the snow and the weather as best as you could. And I hope you're okay. I've also been quite warmed by hearing stories of gardeners going round elderly neighbours with food and checking on them. And it's time like this that I really feel the best of the humanity is showing. Saturday, all the snow had cleared, and actually the morning was really nice and bright. Unfortunately, I was unable to do much gardening. Well, work in the garden, shall we say, directly. But what I was doing is my father has decided it's time to replace his kitchens. So I went to his, and I've kept all these old cupboards and worktops. And the reason for this does come back to vegetables. It's not for my kitchen. Don't think I'm being that much of a cheapskate. You may know I have a little outhouse that we call the bakery, and this is where I store a lot of my less used kitchen items, such as jam making pans, wine making gear, jam jars, and that sort of thing. Well, I've put the cupboards in there to increase storage and make life easier for us, rather than having everything stacked. I do have a few left over, and these I plan to use down my allotment shed once I get it built. The worktops will provide a good worktop with a shower at the cupboards underneath, floor standing cupboards. Give me plenty of storage. And really, what is this? It's recycling at its best. However, one surprise I did find on Saturday, and every day since. One of my quails that have been a more recent addition is now laying an egg. Now, that is bringing me up to 2 quail eggs a day, which is great. I've also been monitoring the mating. They're seeming a bit more settled, and they're not running away from Adam so much when he's trying to mate. So this means that there's a good chance that eggs are getting fertilised, which means I'll be able to hatch out some new quail. Sunday morning, I headed down the allotment. Rain was predicted, so I wasn't planning to stay there for long, but I was actually really surprised how dry the ground was, especially after all the snow that we had a few days before. Now, my first job I tackled was to harvest a few leeks, some Brussels sprouts and chard. And I'm pleased to say I'm still getting food from the allotment, which is really, really good. After that, I started doing some hoeing, especially over the beds, the large beds that were empty. Again, I'm still surprised how dry the soil was. I'm on a really very clayey soil here, which when it becomes wet, it just becomes incredibly claggy and sticky. And passing something like a hoe through, it just sticks too, so you can't do a huge amount. Well, hoeing this soil was a breeze. The soil just crumbled into this really fine, friable condition. It was really nice. Now, I know last week I did sharpen my hoe, and that may have made the job easier. But I think because the soil, well, reality is, the soil got frozen in the snow, that kind of broke it up a bit. As I said, it's quite unusual for it to happen for me here, so it's quite nice to finally happen. After hoeing for a couple of hours, I headed home. And at home, actually, I don't need to run through the hoe with the vegetable patch because the chickens do it for me. And they do a really fantastic job. They do a much better job than hoe, and they do it all the time. So chickens are well worth it for that reason. But one job I was doing was actually moving the quail aviary that I've been building. And I've moved that into its position. It's not quite completed, but it's very near completing. And I'll be glad to get the quails out there into more space and more room. But given last week's weather, I'm glad I didn't do it before, because I don't know how they would have coped. Quails are quite hardy, but because they were young, they haven't really experienced cold temperatures. Now, with that out of the way, I popped into my greenhouse and gave everything a really good water. I've avoided watering last week because the weather was so cold. What I tend to do is I keep a watering can of water in the greenhouse to warm up the water before I water plants. And the reason I do this, if the water is too cold, the plants will like it and it will shock them. So every time I use up the watering can, I fill it back up and I leave it in the greenhouse. And the heat in the greenhouse will warm that water up to an even temperature. Given how cold it has been this last week, I didn't think it was worth watering. The soil was still moist, and the compost was still moist, so it didn't really need watering. But I didn't want to shock the little seedlings, mostly onion seedlings really, I have in there. Now, going through this, you're probably wondering if I lost any plants to the cold. And to be honest, from what I can tell so far, it hasn't been too bad. I've actually got a video coming out tomorrow on YouTube of this. Now, I may have lost a couple of tomato seedlings, but given how many I've got, not a huge problem. On the allotment, the broad beans and the peas look in a sorry state, but I think they're going to recover. And with those, I can still plenty of time to sow more, so it's not that much of a problem. But now we are in March, seed sowing is really going to ramp up, so time to get cracking for me. Well, that has got the diary up to date, so let's take a look at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. Lightly prune frost-damaged container-grown trees and shrubs, taking out the dead wood. top dress by removing the top 2.5 centimetres or 1 inch of soil and replacing it with fresh compost. Move flowering plants into prominent positions as they start to bloom. And if you have any empty containers, plant up with spring bedding displays. Again, this week that calendar is more for flowers, but that advice I think still stands in the veg patch should you have any fruit or vegetables in containers. Okay, so I have a few things to go over now. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Steve from Seaside, or Steve Seaside Life, he nominated me for the 5 question and answers challenge that is doing around on YouTube. Now, I did share that video back when I'd done the response, but I never actually mentioned it to you guys on YouTube. And what I thought it'd be interesting is I'll go through the questions and I'll give my quick answers. But what I want all you listeners out there to kind of do is think about your answers to these questions too. Now, if you want to share them and email me, go ahead or put them in the comments on the blog post. Please do. But if you don't, just use it as a thought exercise. And I found it quite interesting coming up with my answers. Now, the first question is, why an allotment? Now, for me, I was offered the chance to help a friend. And because I really enjoyed the whole allotmenteering experience, I carried it on. Question 2. Why YouTube? For me, YouTube was just an extra way to advertise a podcast. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't YouTube, how does that question apply to me? Ask yourself why you don't YouTube. Question 3. How long have you been gardening for? For me, I worked it out to be 25 years, which I was shocked at. Question 4. What do you grow? I tend to grow anything edible. Question 5. What's your favourite thing to grow? And I cannot answer that definitively. If I had to choose one, I'd say chilies, but that is at a right push. So that's the 5 questions. I've added them onto the blog post for this episode. As I say, if you want to share your answers, it'd be great. There's quite a few interesting answers on YouTube channels from various people. 50 Shades of Green had me close to tears with his answers. And just the other day, I saw Ginger Welsh Allotments. She gave her answers, and they were very interesting as well. She also gave this podcast a mention, so really grateful for that. And Ginger Welsh, if you're listening, thank you very much. Next, I actually received a tweet last week in reply to a blog post that I shared about my understanding of the term leggy. Now, these blog posts are part of a series of blog posts I've been doing where I'm kind of going through my understanding of horticultural terms and explaining it in my kind of no-nonsense, easy-to-understand way. Anyway, this tweet was from Yvonne. Hi, Yvonne. She said she often listens to my podcasts and watches Gardener's World and Beech Grove Gardens. She sometimes can't remember the Dutch horticulture term. Now, being that I'm in the UK and I base everything I do on my experience here, I know I have international listeners, and I really, really love the fact that I get that. And I don't want to exclude any international listeners at all. So if you are an international listener and you want to participate, please do get in touch. I can have you. You can write blog posts. I can do podcast interviews. You can share recipes, because I love food from other countries. When I'm travelling, I'm always eating local cuisine, because I think that's part of why I travel. So I would love to get recipes that originate from other countries. So if you'd like to do any of that, please do. Now, the Dutch translation, I hope I'm going to pronounce this word Correct. Dutch translation for leggy is Hoog Opgestorten. And I hope that helps for you. I'm not very good with foreign languages, if I'm honest. I will always try, but yeah. Now, I do have a cousin in Canada who recently contacted me. She's just taken on a small plot of land in their kind of allotment. Anyway, it's very small land, but she's looking at doing square foot gardening, and I'm hoping to share her experiences with you for that as well. I was considering trying a square foot gardening as well to experiment with it. But if anyone has any experiences square foot gardening, let's share it as well. Next, I have a comment from Steve again. This was actually about the finances posts that I've been sharing. Every Sunday I'm listing what I've harvested that week and working out how much it would have cost me to buy from a shop. And then on the first of every month, I'm sharing how much I spent the previous month on growing my own. And my plan with all this is at the end of a year to work out how much I've spent, how much the food would have cost me, and the difference. And in working out in a bit more detail, so I'm going to work out the chickens cost me this much, but got me this much, and so on and so on. Now, Steve's actually been commenting on quite a few of these, and it's been interesting because he's sharing how much he's harvesting and stuff as well. So it's building up that kind of understanding how much we can save from growing our own. But this comment, he happened to say he would be interested if I included the cost of chicken feed each month and how that pays off. So I share when I buy chicken feed into the monthly costs, and I last bought it back in January. A 20 kilo bag of chicken feed costs me just under £9, and that will last 3 months. So I'll probably expect to buy some next month. But if we split £9 across 3 months, that's £3 a month on feed for 2 chickens. Wood shavings, a couple of pound a month. Straw, probably about 50p a month. Water, I use rainwater, so that doesn't really cost me anything. A small bag of corn costs £3 a bag and lasts a year. So let's, for argument's sake, say £7 a month is what the chickens cost to keep. Obviously, that doesn't factor in the price of their coop and stuff because that was paid for a couple of years ago. Now, the amount of eggs I get each month does change depending on the time of year, of course. Let's say at the lowest point, I reckon I probably had 25 eggs a month in the winter. In the summer, 50 eggs a month, possibly more, to be honest. 60 eggs in that first year is easy. 2 eggs a day, or 1 egg from each chicken, easy in that first year. So I quickly worked out what that would mean for my experience. So 25 eggs would cost about £10.41 from a shop. So £7 a month, that would leave £3.41 up. Now, summer at 50 eggs, that would cost £20.83 if I brought all 50 eggs from a shop. So that means I'm up £13.83, which I'm happy with. Now, the quails, I've bought a 20 kilo bag for about £13. When I first got the quails, I'm still using that same bag. I've barely used a lot of it, to be honest. I think that bag will last a year. So I can't really, until I've got more experience with them, I can't really work out how much they're going to cost. Anyway, that hopefully that answers your question, Steve. We'll come the end of the year, I'm going to add all these sums together and work it out throughout a whole year in detail. So I'll work out the allotments brought in this much and cost me this much and so on and so on. I'm kind of excited to get to the end of the year to find all this out, if I'm honest, but we'll see. Anyway, patience, Richard, patience. Right, I am going to wrap up now, so please take care, everybody. I hope the weather improves for us all. Again, comments, suggestions, anything like that, please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Really do. And we'll continue on building. So until next time, please take care, and I'll see you again then.